Play. Kids love it. Brains need it. But people don't always understand it. Here to help explain it, your hosts, Keisha and Heather. They're knee-deep in play.
So, hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Knee Deep in Play. I'm here with Keisha, and it's our very, very first episode where we have a guest with us. And that's because our last episode, we talked about home-based childcare, and Keisha talked about this specific guest. So we're so honored and thrilled to have her. We think the world of her program. You guys are going to have to check out her program. So today we have joining us Stephanie Krause from Bloom Children's Center. Hey, Keisha and Stephanie.
Hello.
Hi.
Thank you, Heather. I'm glad to be here.
I'm so excited.
I know. I am really excited that you're here, Steph. And while we were taping the last episode, we kind of started talking and talking about programs who make it work, home programs who make it work. And kind of you make it look easy. So we talked about you, and then after the episode, we kept thinking about it and talking about it, and we said, why don't we get Steph on the show so that she can talk about some strategies that she uses and just tell us a little bit about your program. So tell us about your program. First, start with, what do you call your program?
Okay, so our program is called Bloom Children's Center, and it is in our home, and we are a licensed family child care home in Oregon, licensed for 16 children. And can I start by just kind of sharing my story a little bit?
We'd love to hear it. Absolutely.
Okay. So back when the economy crashed, you all remember that, the crash of the economy, I had been at home with my own boys who were at the time 3 and 5. And I remember a few years before that, Dave and I having conversations about the idea of childcare in our home, and it felt daunting to him to think of coming home from work and being faced with a bunch of other people's children in his home. So that is to preface this with saying, I think that there's a mindset that this takes, and I don't know exactly. I know we'll get into some of what that takes to get that mindset, but I wanted to give you the background. We haven't always been this way. We haven't always been okay with our home being a daytime home to 16 children. And so when my boys were 3 and 5 and the economy was crashing, and Dave, my husband's a contractor, and I had been asked to nanny one little boy and then another, I found myself nannying, I think it was 7 different children for little part-time chunks, like a half day here and a half day there. And so we sat on the couch one night going, what are we going to do? Because his work is drying up. And he jokingly says, well, you could just get a bunch more kids and I could come to work for you. And we laughed and we thought it was hilarious because we had talked about this a few years before and thought, no, this is not a possibility. And then we started looking at it and I looked at the requirements for becoming a licensed home. And I started realizing that I had the requirements to make what I believe to be a really legitimate program. Not just kind of do it half-heartedly, but to, like, make a really great space for the kids and a really great experience for the kids. So that's where we started from.
And was that? How many years ago was that?
That was 8 years ago.
8 years ago.
Yep, so my boys are now 10, and my oldest just turned 13.
Yesterday, wasn't it?
It was Friday.
Oh,
but yes, we celebrated this weekend.
Happy belated.
Thanks. I'll pass it on.
Okay. Sorry, I totally interrupted. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
So once you and your husband had this conversation and kind of came to this point, was there a point in time where, I know the boys were young, but was there a point in time where they were brought into the discussion? How did they feel initially? And tell us how, like, that transition was for them.
You know, for us, I think that at that stage it was really natural because I had already been, like I said, nannying these other mm-hmm. children kind of sporadically, and that was in our home. And so it was just natural for them to have other children be a part of the space, and it wasn't mm-hmm. really my oldest had just started kindergarten, and so he was gone for part of the day, and my youngest was actually in a preschool program, and we had pulled him out because of the program itself. So mm-hmm. he kind of was in need of something. He needed something more, mm-hmm. some extra stimulation anyhow. And I think that the way that we set it up, the physical space works very well, but also we were very careful to guard our boys' personal space. And their rooms are tiny, 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 compared to what most American children's bedrooms are. But their space is theirs. Mm-hmm. And I think that was important to us in honoring them. And I think that that challenge that you're talking about, that kind of conversation, has been more of an ongoing thing that has been more relevant as they've gotten older. Because now, when they have time off school, they're home, but their house is filled with up to 16 preschool children.
Yeah.
And so that definitely affects their lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. When you said about their space being their space, that kind of sprung a bell in my ear, because I talked about the second home program I had being in a smaller home and my son having to give up a lot of space. His mm-hmm. room, his bedroom, was mm-hmm. one of the main parts of the program, and that was mm-hmm. the biggest mistake, and that's why it didn't work.
Right.
Because yeah. I started feeling that guilt of, you know, I'm taking away from my child. So I think that it's definitely important when we start this to figure out a way to continue to have that space for your children. So I love that you said that their room and their space is their space. I think that definitely helps them to be open to sharing their home.
Right.
Which I think that in itself is such a wonderful characteristic to just have, you know,
right.
growing up sharing your space, sharing your home. I saw lots of benefits that my son got from just that alone.
Right.
Except for when they took his room. That was crossing a line right there.
Right, right. Well, so, you know, it's fascinating. My boys are really, really skilled with young children. And it amazes me, because I loved babysitting when I was their age, and I loved, well, my older son's age, and I loved just being with preschoolers and toddlers, mm-hmm. but they have so much higher skills than I have.
Well, they have a wonderful model. Hello.
Oh, and it's just that experience of being around it.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to refer to some things, because I, listening to your last episode, there were some certain things that kind of stuck out to me.
Okay.
And you talked in that episode about going back to our beliefs, our core beliefs about children. And I think that that is a major part of it. And when we look at what we believe to be most important in children, and we value them as individuals, and we believe in respecting them as individuals, that's what makes this work in our home. Because we, from the moment we started it, have been asking ourselves the question that we've all talked about, and I've talked about with you guys, I've talked about with other people online, and I've talked about with colleagues in person, but the concept of asking ourselves, what am I doing, who am I doing it for,
mm-hmm.
and just kind of that stepping back and evaluating yourself, and I think that's what makes it work in our home, because when there's times or issues that come up that there, you get that little like clench in your gut of, wait a second, this is my house.
Mm-hmm.
When I stop for a second and I pause and I evaluate whether it's like a mess that they're going to make with some art, or it's the dirt coming in from the yard, furniture being moved. When I pause and I reevaluate, okay, what am I doing? Who am I doing it for? It really helps me to process some of those situations, and I'm probably more tolerant in my home than most people are in their homes. And at the same time, I do set boundaries. you know, there are certain things that it's not just a free-for-all. And, let me give an example. Our couch begs to be jumped on, right? Isn't that what couches beg to do?
Yep.
But it's my couch, and I don't think the couch can handle 16 children a day jumping on it all day. The children know that the couch is not something that we support jumping on, but they still try to do it from time to time. But I have a play bed for them. So
I was going to ask you.
My response to them.
Uh-huh.
What were
I
you
knew
saying?
It, and you had a response. I was going to ask you, what is your solution for that? Go ahead.
Right. The
go
way
ahead.
To say yes. You referred to that a lot in your last episode, too, but making it a yes situation. So my yes is to be able to tell them, hey, why don't you go jump on the bed? Because the bed is always available for them to jump on. That bed is not as precious to me as being able to sit on my couch in the evening when it's not a preschool. Does that make sense?
It makes so much sense. And that's what we have to do. We have to think in terms of how can we turn this no into a yes? How can we support the needs of the children and sometimes the needs of our household? How can we support that? Because it can't be one over the other. We can't say, this is my house, so we don't do art here. Not if we all agree that art is what they need. We can't say, this is my house, so there's no sensory. Not if we say that sensory is what children need. So I think prior to opening a program like this, we have to do what you said, Stephanie. Do some reflecting and ask yourself, who am I doing this for?
So one of the things that I was thinking when you were just talking about the couch and the bed is something I'm agreeing with both of you in that we've talked about it in many episodes that in quality early childhood programs, this is a commonality that you would have in both home-based and in center care and center education, which is that if you see that the children need something specific, a specific experience, like I remember one time we were talking about how children in my center were inadvertently flushing things down the toilet.
Yeah.
And so what it was really about was that the motion of things in the water and the swirling of things in the water. So when you're seeing that they need to jump, they have a physiological drive to jump and to excel at it and to practice it and refine it, you're being responsive. And I mean, it's also good. I know there are some of our mentors that we think are rock stars in our early childhood field that would say, you know, you don't say no, but it's okay to have some boundaries. And obviously, as you said, it's your couch, but I mean, you're doing what we always talk about being a quality ECE is that you have to find a way to provide what they need and what they're curious in to give them the opportunity to develop those skills. And but not your couch.
Right. I want to share too about the couch because it's a good example of serving the preschool children and the family. Because our couch is against a wall that's not the most comfortable, like that's not where you would put your couch in a family home. In just your personal home, the way we have it positioned. But, so here was our solution. We move our couch almost every day when it's evening time, and we're going to just relax on it. We put it on casters because it's very easy to just roll it against the wall. And so that's out of the way for the preschool.
And
but
that's
then
what I was looking
we
for.
Can move it where we want it.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was looking for. Creative ways to make it work. Because sometimes, I love that. I love that you put it on casters. You put it where you need to have it for your family. You put it where it needs to be for preschool. That's just taking one space and making it work for two purposes. And that's exactly what when I talked about strategies to make it work, to serve the purpose of both. Because you want to give your family 100%, just as well as you want to give your program 100%. Can we talk about mess? Can we talk about mess and how strategies for dealing with that? I know that you are in a program that has 16 children and you have staff. So this, I guess the spin on this is your take on mess in your house and how you prepare for that, more so than how you deal with it as a sole, as a sole educator. But we're going to talk about how you deal with it, some strategies that you and your staff
used to deal with meth.
Right.
Well, two things. I think that, probably more than two. I'll just keep talking. But so number one that comes to my mind is having things stored. What comes to mind is what Bev Voss says when she says a place for everything and everything in this place. Mm-hmm. Having storage space, because when you're in your home, I mean, anywhere space is limited. But when you're in your home, it often can be even more limited. So it's finding storage solutions where you can have the supplies for the meth easily accessible, so that you can get them out quickly. And whether I'm here with a handful of children by myself or I'm here with my staff and we have the whole crew of kids, that's equally, I guess, accessible to us. So then that's my first thing. Second thing that came to mind was it's in my mind. It's a mind game. As far as when we look at our house is our home, and it is special to us. It's where we live. It has to be a place that's comfortable for us. I do think, coming back to that core belief of children and respecting them and looking at what am I doing and who am I doing it for, I have paint splatters on parts of my walls that I don't clean every little paint splatter off in certain areas, because to me, this is a preschool and child care. And when people walk into my home, they know that. They're not looking at it through a lens of just my house. Mm-hmm. And in my mind, I've let go of some of the stress about keeping it looking just so, for the sake of the children, because I know that if I ever decide to move the preschool out of my home, walls are paintable, floors mm-hmm. are changeable. All the stuff that the house is constructed of is just stuff, and it can be taken care of. So then we just have like the day-to-day cleaning up of the mess or handling of the mess, because once we've relaxed kind of, I guess, the stress about the overall standards of the home, then you're just handling the day-to-day messes. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You tracking mm-hmm. with me? So then the day-to-day stuff, I think it's just getting really creative, having things really organized, having, like, we have our art shelf where the kids can access stuff, but we also have, I would say, most of our supplies are up and out of reach. Mm-hmm. I would love them to be in reach, but it just doesn't practically work right now. But what's really cool is the kids know what supplies we have, and when they want to do something, they'll just tell me. I had a 2.5-year-old boy on Friday who happened upon some scrapbook papers and glue that somebody else had been using on the table, and he started gluing, and then he says, "Where's your glitter?" And this is a new little boy. He's only been here a month, and yet he knew they have to have glitter.
Yeah.
So the kids ask for it when they mm-hmm. when they need something, and we can get it out, and help them with that. And then I think also it's the same as in the center, as far as helping them to, you know, they want to get supplies out. It isn't always feasible. It isn't feasible to get all of the supplies out at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So
there's boundaries. So there are, just like in a center, there are boundaries that make sense for the moment, for the program, for what the supply is, for what their needs are.
Right.
So,
okay.
I need to point out.
Is there more I can say about that? Oh, go ahead.
I need to point out that we're at 28 minutes.
Wow.
I have no doubt that, I mean, I do have some questions for Stephanie that have arisen. I mean, and there's so many other aspects of the day that we would want to ask about. I mean, I'm thinking about, you know, what's nap time like in a home environment, and what's, mm-hmm. how does preparing the food and the menu and that, how does that shift? I'm wondering about your yard and your property in relation to, do you have any property outside that belongs to just the family, and all those kinds of things. But I figure we're going to have to do another episode, because
I think that I was going to say, I think that we need to have Miss Stephanie back
because
I'd love to.
I would love to touch on those topics. I'd love to touch on nap time in particular, because I know that's an interesting thing to something interesting about your program that I'd like you to share. Okay. Well, Stephanie, it was wonderful. I think that you, even in just this quick 30 minutes, gave us a lot to think about and gave other home providers a lot of strategies. And, again, if you guys have any questions, comments, or want to even get in contact with Stephanie, you can meet us at Child Care Bar and Grill.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Thank you so much, Steph. Thanks.
I totally agree that you gave everybody a lot to think about. I particularly loved how incredibly innovative you are. So, like, the cast is on the couch. So,
I know.
I look forward to you coming back and chatting with us, because that innovation and resourcefulness, everybody, you know, we're all resourceful as ECs, but I think Stephanie's got more innovation than a lot of people, so it'll be great.
Thanks, guys.
Hey, Steph, can you please quickly, before we go, tell us your website, any contact information, website, Facebook, any of that?
Right. Our website is bloombend.com, so bloombend.com. And Facebook, I guess search for us at Bloom Children's Center.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank you, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
This has been Knee Deep in Play. Join us next week for another episode. This has been an Explorations Early Learning Upstairs Studio production. Are you itching to connect with Heather or Keisha? You can find them at the Child Care and Bar and Grill Facebook page or at playvolution.com. That's playvolution.com in the forum section under podcasts. Drop them a note. They're hoping to hear from you.